always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome to the GSMC Entertainment Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway, presented on and by the GSMC Podcast Network. Got a few things for you guys today. A few things. So, first of all, Beyonce was in Target because, you know, Target, as I like to call it, and as a lot of select people like to call it, it's cool. It's kind of classy. So, for those of y'all that was turned off or surprised by seeing her in Target, I'm not, because Target is cool. Other than all those credit card hack things, which, you know, that's water under the bridge, right? Nobody's worried about that anymore. Also, LeBron bought a new house in Brentwood, I'm not exactly sure where it's at, but it's in the same neighborhood of Brentwood by his other house, because someone, you know, during the finals last year, somebody decided they were going to spray paint the N-word on his house, because that's what you should do when you don't have anything else to do. You should go to a $20 million house and just spray paint the N-word on it. I mean, for your kicks. I guess you're that bored in life that that's what entertains you. Also, I don't know if you guys know this. Everyone should know this. There's a show on Cartoon Network called Black Jesus. It's about this guy. He's an actor, comedian, who he's like 6'5". It's crazy. He goes around the neighborhood solving people's problems. He's Black Jesus, basically. They're in the hood in like an urban area, and he walks around with his gang of friends, not like a gang, but like his homies, and he solves, like, he solves crimes. He doesn't solve crimes. He gives people blessings, and like, he's a friend of them, and it's a funny show. It's presented by and written by Aaron Magruder, the guy who wrote Boondocks, which was also a solid show that was on Cartoon Network until, I don't know, Sony got rid of Magruder, then they got some other writers in there, and the show just went down the tube. It's like, boo. But anyway, this is what happened, basically. Another artist was claiming that they were responsible for the Black Jesus idea and was going to sue Cartoon Network for $35 million. They felt like Aaron Magruder stole the idea and was profiting off of it. Now, let me explain what this show is. There's a guy, Jesus. Everyone knows him. He's Black Jesus. He's in the neighborhood. He's their friend. They pray to him. They walk around. It's as though if Jesus really existed and lived in your neighborhood. That's it. That's what it is. And he's Black. And he can do like some miracles, but he can't do like everything. So, which is, it's kind of an interesting premise, because if you think about it, that's kind of why people do pray and like believe. I'm not gonna tell you what God to believe in, but when it comes to like praying and believing in the universe and believing in whatever being that you believe in, they can do all things. But, you know, that this being will help you if you help yourself. So it's kind of got some messages in it, but honestly, it's just a funny show about a Black Jesus. So apparently, this writer felt like the idea was stolen. They took it to court. The court said you can't copyright Black Jesus. The court basically like looked over the artist story they put together, and then looked over Aaron Magruder's story, and there were no similarities other than Jesus being Black. There's a few different storylines where like Jesus gets arrested, Jesus puts together a farm, and his friends are growing weed in the farm. There's all these different storylines, right? But none of them like match what this particular artist had. And my question is this: why do you think you can just sue somebody for $35 million for stealing an idea? Like, I want to know who's in charge of your legal system. Because if you think that someone stole your idea and then wrote, I don't know, two seasons on it on Cartoon Network, and you thought you were going to get $35 million, I think you were shooting too high. That's what I believe. I think you were shooting too high. I feel like if you wanted to get like idea theft, maybe $10 million. And then they would maybe they might say, okay, well, you know, we'll here's $10 million or even two, maybe five. But your idea didn't take off. You're going to ask for $35 million. I don't really know. I don't know if that's a good idea. Just next time when you're going to like sue someone, just, you know, reevaluate where you're at, reevaluate what it is that you want, and then maybe just go from there. I mean, and the idea isn't even that original. Black Jesus, it's not. It's really not. I mean, I don't really want to get too far into this, but we don't even really know what color like Jesus really is. Therefore, like, you can't even coin Black Jesus as being your idea. For all we know, that you could have stole the idea from the Bible. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. So I don't really know if it was the best idea for that guy to try to sue for that much money. I feel like if he would have asked for less, then there's a possibility that maybe he would have got it. But I feel like he asked for too much. It was just a little bit too much money. Cartoon Network basically ducked the lawsuit, and they were all set. Nothing happened. Like, they're good. So they don't have anything to worry about. So congratulations to Cartoon Network for not being sued for inventing Black Jesus. Anyhow, Beyonce was she was photographed shopping in Target the other day, and apparently it's a really big deal. I don't know why, because, I mean, Target's a really nice place to be. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a Target. I know some people, like, avoid going to Walmarts and Targets. Not that they're on the same level. I just know that some people feel like, I would never go inside of a Target, or I don't go in Targets because, you know, whatever. There's like a $100 rule in Target. If you go in there, you'll end up accidentally spending $100. It happens because the store is so clean. Everyone's so nice. And I don't necessarily knock Beyonce, because people saying stuff like, you got all this money, why are you shopping in Target? That's how you make a whole bunch of money, then you keep it. Like, you shop places that have things that you can buy them for cheaper. People won't just rip you off because you're a superstar. Versus when people have a whole bunch of money and they go bankrupt. You want to know why they're going bankrupt? You want to know why? Because they have friends, because they say things like, hey, you know what I really need? I need some baby clothes for my new baby. And instead of going to the Baby Gap, they say, hey, you know what I could get you? But I have a friend that knows a lady that has a Gucci boutique that can get custom baby Gucci clothes. Oh, wow. I need baby Gucci clothes. And you buy all these Gucci clothes for your baby, and they can't fit them in like 3 weeks. So congratulations. You got to go somewhere that has affordable and reasonable. Don't step too far outside your zone. You step too far outside your zone, next thing you know, you're buying Tigers. And next thing you know, you're buying homes and multiple homes. And you'll buy a house that has 57 bathrooms, but you don't even know 57 people. People think that if you buy a Tiger, you just buy a Tiger. No, you buy a Tiger. A Tiger costs $20,000. You know how much the Tiger bill is? The Tiger bill is like $15,000. Now you have a Tiger bill. The Tiger has to be fed. He's got to eat hundreds of pounds of meat. He's got to be groomed, washed, clean, pedicures. Got to go to the vet. You got to get a Tiger trainer to make sure he doesn't get out of shape. Because who wants a fat Tiger running around their house? Nobody wants a fat Tiger running around their house. Well, people probably don't want a Tiger running around their house, let alone a fat Tiger. But you understand the point. Anyway, things get expensive for celebrities. So I don't really think that us seeing Beyonce at Target should make us think, oh my God, is she going broke? Or, oh my God, she's a woman of the people. I think it should make us think, it should help us believe that you don't have to pay $1 million for everything. There's good things you can get at Target. So if Beyonce can go to Target, then I think that some of y'all should be going to Walmart. I know some of you guys have never, ever been in the Walmart. And I know for those of you that have been in the Walmart, you feel like it's scary and that you shouldn't go in there and that you've heard bad things. But I'm going to tell you this about Walmarts. Some Walmarts are good, some Walmarts aren't. That's just the way it is. Some liquor stores are good, some aren't. That's kind of how it is. I was in the Walmart the other day. It was a supercenter. It was incredible. They had a coffee shop. They had a hair salon in there. And they had so much stuff in there. I'll be honest, I kind of got lost. Kind of got lost inside of the Walmart. It was a big deal. So if Beyonce can go to Target, I feel like you guys can go to Walmart. Does it sound better if I say Walmart? Would it make you guys feel better going in there? I think maybe this would be a new trend, because usually when customers get burned by a retailer, like, you know, I think a few years ago, I want to say, what year was that? Maybe 2013, when maybe it was 2012. 2012 or 2013, when Target had the whole, hey, we're going to give everyone, we're going to give all these hackers everyone's credit card numbers. Everything's going to be fine. And then people felt away and we had our credit card numbers stolen by hackers. And Target was like, oops, man, our bad. We didn't mean to do that. Sorry about that, guys. And it never happened again. Then it happened again. And they're like, hey, sorry, guys. We didn't mean for that to happen. So people don't want to go to Target. But I mean, Beyonce's in there now. So it's like, hey, you know what? If she's down, if Beyonce's down to have her identity stolen in Target, then, you know, maybe we're safe. Maybe this is like a step. Maybe this is a step in the right direction for Target to bounce back. For all we know, Target could have just paid her to go in there. Like, hey, Beyonce, we give you about $10 million if you just come in Target, come in here on like a Sunday, just walk around a little bit. You ain't got to buy nothing. If you want to get some face cream or, you know, like some lotions, buy some of our fresh fruit that we got over there. Just walk around for 20 minutes or so. Let somebody take your picture and we give you $10 million. All right. And Beyonce was like, do, 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 do. That I can't do a vocal, so I just had to do the ego beat. That's it. That's what you guys get. So I think so. Beyonce took the bread. She walked around a little bit, and now Target's back on the map. Now we can go inside the Target, and we're not afraid to get our identity stolen. Why? Because Beyonce paved the way for people to go to Target again. So next time you guys see Beyonce in Target, make sure you tell her thank you, or tell someone thank you. Whoever was in charge of getting her to go in Target for a couple $1 million to put them back on the map, because it's Christmas time right now, and I feel like for Beyonce to be inside of a Target during Christmas time, that someone had to have paid her, because there's no way. Like there's no way. I mean, you could order from Target online, all right? Like I'm not gonna go in Target during Christmas time. I'm not gonna go into any store during Christmas time. So I mean, bless up to her. If she was paid or if she wasn't paid, then either way, it's a great thing. Speaking of celebrities making monster moves. Well, I guess Target wasn't really a monster move, but I mean, yeah, Target's a monster move. Why not? Why can't it be that? So last year during the NBA Finals, while LeBron was, you know, minding his own business, being Finals LeBron, playing in the finals, somebody spray painted the N-word on his Brentwood house. Yeah, somebody went to his house and spray painted the N-word on it. I don't even know how you get spray paint into a neighborhood that has houses that cost $20 million, which I think that's interesting because for all, what's the appropriate word for all, for the amount of law enforcement presence that we have in certain places, one would assume something like that couldn't happen somewhere that houses cost $20 million. I'm just saying, there's other crimes. I know that there's other crimes being stopped. Like there's people speeding, there's people selling drugs. I know there's things like that happening, but I feel like if I pay $20 million for my house, I don't want the guy in the truck that drives around with the lights on the top patrolling me. Someone needs to be paying the police to be in my neighborhood, and no one should be spray painting my house. In fact, here's the thing. If someone spray paints on my house and it costs $20 million, I want a refund on my property tax. That's what I want, because there is no way that I pay the amount of property tax that I pay to live in this neighborhood and anyone can just be willy-nilly writing a whole N-word on my house. Not just the N, the whole N-word. That's six letters. How much time do they have in the broad daylight to write this stuff? And my neighbors didn't see them? That would make me start asking my neighbors all types of different questions. Like, hey, Paul, you guys see this? You see this thing on my you see this on here? Oh, LeBron, who would do such a thing? That's horrendous. Who would do that? You guys didn't see anything? You guys got the cameras up on yours that point at my house. Do you guys see anybody walk by? No, LeBron, those cameras, they're off. They're just for show. Oh, okay. All right, guys. Well, if in the future, if you guys ever see anyone around that has a spray paint can and they're writing, you know, the N-word of my house, just, you know, like, let me know or call someone or, you know, just, it would be helpful. Oh, yeah, of course, LeBron, of course. Talk to you later. And LeBron was walking back in his home and was like, you know what, I think I'm going to move. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you guys about that when I get back. Going to pay a bill. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be the most awesome commercial you've ever heard in your life. Just a second.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Entertainment Podcast with your host, Ryan Holloway. To continue, well, I was telling you guys a little bit earlier about how LeBron, you know, somebody sprayed the N-word on his house. The whole six letters just spray painted on his house. And obviously, if that was just okay in the neighborhood he was in, there might be a possibility that maybe it wasn't quite being looked out for. I don't really know if you could just spray paint in a $20 million neighborhood and then no one notices. So what did LeBron do? LeBron bought another house in the same neighborhood for $23 million. He bought a new house in Brentwood. And I was like, I'm just going to move up the street. And then if you guys got any problems, then just let me know. If you guys have to spray paint on that house, you can spray paint on that one because I'm just going to move. Don't let them run you out of there, LeBron. I don't know if this move was like a L.A., was like more putting a stamp in L.A. Like, yeah, I'm more in L.A. now. Got it. But I appreciate the move. You don't let them just run you out of anywhere, which is interesting how you can move somewhere. And like no matter like Jay-Z has a song about this. It's called O.J. Story. And no matter where you are, you know, there's things that are still the same. So hopefully no one spray paints on this house, but I think that's an ultra boss move to be like, okay, well, instead of just having that, I'm gonna have that cleaned up for now, but it's tarnished now. So I'm going to go buy another house. LeBron, why'd you change houses? Someone wrote on that one and I want a different one now for my birthday. Cause my birthday's on the 30th of December. So I want to buy myself another house for my birthday. I love it, LeBron. Great job. More power to the people. So I noticed something on TV the other day. And I noticed that the Chris Paul, Cliff Paul commercials are back. And I really hadn't seen any of his insurance commercials for a while. I hadn't saw that one. Haven't seen the one with him and DeAndre Jordan. Haven't seen Lillard. Haven't seen Kevin Love. I haven't seen any of them for a really long time. So I was wondering what was happening. Maybe it's because the Clippers aren't very good. Maybe that's why. Maybe they were in a bunch of turmoil because I didn't see them. I did not see them. Until the other day, I saw a new Chris Paul and Cliff Paul commercial. I was juiced because I actually like that one. Like I like that. I like that type of fake twin thing. The other ones are kind of silly to me, honestly. But that one though, that one's pretty outstanding. But the reason this got me was because it's interesting how you don't notice. I didn't notice they were gone until they came back because they used to be on all the time when the Clippers started experiencing some turmoil. People were trying to get traded. CP3, they weren't in the playoffs, and having like the whole team, which is him and Dre, Blake wasn't in them, but having him and Dre on the same team and then being the commercials is great. It's a great idea. But if they're not winning, then it's ugly. So I was happy to see them back. My question to you guys is when those commercials first came on, you could be honest. You could be honest. But when those commercials first came out, did you guys think they were really brothers? Because I had to Google it. I'm not going to front. Like, I had to Google it. It was State Farm's first time doing that thing, and I had to Google it. I wasn't 100% sure myself. If you weren't either, it's okay. You can tell me. You can be completely honest, and I won't even judge you. I will not judge you at all. I will not. But I'm just saying that Cliff and Chris, it sounded really familiar in the way they did the camera stuff, and Chris Paul is a pretty private guy. We don't know a lot about what goes on with him. He's not always out there. So I was like, you know, if he has a twin brother, maybe we don't know. Like maybe it's a Jose Canseco thing. You got a whole twin brother nobody even knows about. So yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say that I didn't know. I didn't know at all. I had no idea. I thought maybe I thought maybe he could have a brother, and I googled it. But I'm glad the commercials are back. It just goes to show that Chris Paul is back. I'm glad they're on the Rockets doing what they need to do. Have you guys watched The Walking Dead lately? I need to know if you've watched it, because I'm not going to get on here throwing out spoilers all willy-nilly. That's not something I'm going to do, because that's disrespectful and it's inconsiderate, and I'm not one of those people that's disrespectful and inconsiderate. But what I will tell you is that something that popped off in the last episode, things are getting real. Like, things are getting real, and I'm going to need you guys to watch it and catch up, because Eugene was having a meltdown. He didn't know whether or not he was Negan or whether or not he was Hilltop or Rick's group. He just didn't know. He just didn't. And in the most recent episode, the group as a whole, as a staff, record label, and the crew, the Hilltop and Rick's group, they don't know whether or not to be, how do you say, to just be ruthless and just get their Negan on. The Hilltop took these prisoners or whatever, and they got them in this gate. And Tara is like, we can't just have them just chilling here forever like this. And Jesus is like, this is funny. This is Walking Dead Jesus. I was just talking about Cartoon Network Jesus a minute ago. I guess Jesus is the theme of this show. Fictional cartoon entertainment Jesus. So Jesus, who also is at the Hilltop, was like, we can't kill these guys. We can't just execute them. That's wrong. We only kill during war. And Tara's like, yo, if these guys escape, they're going to kill one of us and it's going to be a problem. Then they got this other situation where at Negan's palace, at the whole compound of where Negan is at, they got all the workers or slaves like living on the bottom of the warehouse. And Daryl and the squad, they want to run this garbage truck into the warehouse and let all the walkers into the warehouse and just destroy the whole Negan camp. And Michonne and them were like, no, you know, I don't want any parts of that. I'm not going to do that. It's not going to happen. So Daryl and them crashed whole garbage truck in there and just all hell broke loose. So it's kind of gotten to a point where we've always saw things where, you know, people, they have guns and they're like fighting for their lives and doing the whole, I'm shooting at you, you're shooting at me. And we've only seen other people in other groups versus Rick's group be cruel for no reason. We've never really gotten to see Rick's group be cruel for no reason, other than when they ran up on Negan and went in there to their compound, the first compound, and let all those people have it in their sleep. That was pretty bad. Other than that, we never got to see that. We would just see random other groups being brutal, like when the Walking Dead group ran into the people that were down with cannibalism, and when the wolves were down with cannibalism, and when everyone else was just down with like smash people with bats with barbed wire on them, all that. But this is the first time within the last two episodes that Rick's group has had to basically have had to, I guess, execute or what's the word? Yeah, we'll say that. Has had to execute or take matters into their own hands of people that are unarmed. And it's been kind of intrinsic. It's been very intrinsic, because it's made me think, like, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, if I was there, those guys did this, these people did that, yeah. So whatever, pull out the gun, empty the clip, let the Lord sort them out. But nah, it's not that easy. It's not that easy, because even people that have handled a whole bunch of artillery and rifles and things like that, they don't even want to do it. You got Michonne with her sword. You got I forget her name. Oh, is her name Vita? Her name is Vita. You got Vita. She can handle a gun. And you got Rick. They didn't want any parts of this. Oh, and you got Jesus, who has fought a whole bunch of people. Then you got the other squad, who's down to just knock all these people out. You got Tara, and then you got Daryl, and you got the girl who got kidnapped by the Oceanside people. And like, yo, we're just going to finish this thing out. We're going to just knock this out completely. This is what we're going to do. And so they kind of have a beef about whether or not to like kill these innocent people. Not innocent, but kill Negan's group as a whole. Wipe them out. Wipe out their whole staff, record label, and crew as a collective. Make them extinct. Or like, no, let's just take prisoners and then we can convince them and make them be our friends. So that struggle is happening. And that struggle's happening, and it's been something to watch. I've been very excited about it. It's been a great season. I'm glad they finally went to war. I want to give you guys a tidbit, a little bit of advice. There's a show on television. I need you to watch this. I need you guys to check this out. It's on TLC. It's called 90 Day Fiancé. And these people in the U.S., they meet people overseas, whether they went there to visit, whether they met them online or whatever. They go visit them in their country. Then the person comes back here. Then they have to, then they get like a marriage visa. They have to get married in 90 days. This show is, in my opinion, this show is the most, you know what? I'm going to say this is the best reality show that I've ever seen. You want to, I'm going to tell you why it's the best reality show. Because all these people that are on this show, like I've watched all of Love and Hip Hop, all of it. Like I've watched all of that. All of them, every single one. But everyone on Love and Hip Hop feels like they're a star in some kind of way. And a lot of that stuff, for the most part, since they're fighting a lot of it at stage. And everyone feels like they're important in some kind of way. So it's like, I used to do this, I used to do that, blah, 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 blah. And there's like, and there's hierarchies of, you'll see that on Love and Hip Hop. Like there's people that have been on the show for a while or have more money or their success is real. And they'll like high side upon among other people. And it's like a starting base for people to get on anyway. Like once you get on Love and Hip Hop, then you're on. That's kind of how it works. And that's one of my favorite reality shows, if it's a different reality. Then you got The Real World, which was cool. And I got a bunch of other stuff that I randomly watch. I'm not going to list it right now. But 90 Day Fiancé is dope because these people, it's not dope. It's outstanding. It's an outstanding show because these people get in these relationships because they don't like anyone where they live at. Basically, like everyone, these people in the U.S. find these other people because the people in the U.S., they're either tired, they're tired of dating people in the U.S. or they can't find, they can't find love here because out of 330 million people, they can't find one person to mess with them. So they have to find someone somewhere else. It's a great show because you get to watch people's relationships and they, some of them know it's going to work out. Some of them don't know it's going to work out. You get to see people's family's reactions to it. You get to see their friends' reactions to it. Some of them are supportive. Some aren't supportive. The fights, the mishaps, the miscommunications, the cultural differences. It's a hellacious amount of relationship drama. Not even drama, but I guess one of the things I like about it a lot is because of the culture shock, right? So usually we see people in relationships and then it's like, okay, you're in a relationship and you fight, whatever. No big deal, whatever. But you meet someone from somewhere and the biggest things that are different are like the culture. So this guy went to Thailand, had to pay this woman, her family, like give him like this dowry or whatever, and like about to buy some mooses or pigs. Mooses? Is mooses a word? I don't know. Had to buy them like some large animals. Maybe it was a bull. I don't know. Bought them some large animals to get her back here. She comes back here and thinks the guy's rich. Turns out he borrowed all this money from his friend. And he doesn't have a place to live. So his friend like owns an abandoned firehouse, which I actually think is a really awesome looking place to live. But it's a firehouse, right? And the lady's thinking like, the lady thought he was a baller, but he's not. And that's just one little story, and then the culture and the language barrier between them is awesome because she's Thai and then he's American, and it's great. This other guy found this woman from the Philippines, and she wanted to have a family. He didn't have to pay her family any money. She came over on her own, and he kind of sold her a dream, like they're gonna have kids and have a family, and he's gonna get a vasectomy, have it reversed. And then she comes over, is like, yeah, so when are you gonna get the vasectomy? And she's like, oh yeah, well, it's a lot of money, and so, you know, it's not even 100%. And so they have like this fight because she's like, you told me you're gonna do this, like why are you here, why'd you call me here if you have this penis that doesn't work? So it's crazy, and that's just two couples. Each show is like 2 hours. There's like six different couples on there from all over the world. You got a French lady, a guy from Germany, a guy from South America, everywhere. It's great. I need you guys to watch it. So you should check it out. I tweet at it a lot on my personal Twitter. I'm going to start tweeting it on the entertainment Twitter because it's great. It's a great show. You should watch it. It's really entertaining. There, that's how I feel. With that, you guys could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. This has been another episode of the Entertainment Podcast, hosted by GSMC's Podcast Network. You have a wonderful weekend. Watch out for potholes. Live long and prosper.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast.
part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.